Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Last week, Sunday through Tuesday night with our Summer Hunger Revival Nights, I hope that you were able to come out and be a part of those. They were absolutely amazing. God did wonderful, wonderful things. And I'll tell you what, I told Pastor Madison on Wednesday, I said, I must be getting older because we used to do youth camps and stuff that went 5 days long, morning, noon, and night. And then, but this was just 3 days. And it was just the nights. And I woke up on Wednesday, felt like I had been run over by a semi-truck. So I must be getting, I'm over 30 now. So, you know, things just, it's all downhill after 30. Is that what they say? Is it 30? Or maybe it's supposed to be a little bit later. Maybe it's just hitting me. But I tell you what, I came out of this week spiritually charged, physically tired, but spiritually charged. Everything that God spoke and did in our midst, it was such an amazing time. And I want to say thank you, because so many of you served in various capacities, and it was not just, Pastor Madison and I carrying all the weight. You guys carried a tremendous weight, and you made this happen, and I want to say thank you so much. We had the opportunity to facilitate the presence of the Lord, and there is not a higher honor on this earth. There's not an office that you can hold politically. There's not an amount of money that you can have. There's no clout that you can have. Nothing better than being able to say, you know what, I know for a fact the presence of God was here. People's lives were spoken into prophetically. I've received testimony of people saying that they know and believe that they got healed under the power and the anointing of the Lord. So let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise for everything that he did this week. And I just want to say thank you to you guys. And I want to thank him for helping us this week. Listen, Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And I'm so thankful for a house that doesn't just want to blaze our own trail, do our own thing, but we want to be people that we say, God, what are you doing? And whatever you're doing, we're so thankful that he allows us to be part of it. Amen. If you have your Bible, go ahead and grab it, stand to your feet, and turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, one of Paul's letters, his epistles that he wrote to the church in Colossae, and we're going to read from Colossians chapter 3. We are going to read verse 17, and then we're going to skip down and read verses 23 through 25, and then we'll pray, and I'll explain what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart for today for the body of Christ. So let's read together Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, skip down to verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. I want to read that verse again. And whatever you do, whether you're a plumber, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a physician, no matter what you do, whatever you do, the apostle writes and says, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. What he's saying is do it with all of your heart, do it with all of your soul, and do it with all of your strength, knowing that from the Lord, listen to this, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. That's good news to some and bad news to others. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word in and of itself, because it is divine inspiration from the Holy Spirit, it is anointed. And I pray that the anointed word today would break yokes off of people's lives. Lord, I pray that you would speak straight to the heart. Lord, I thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's not just like a sword, it's sharper than a sword. And it can cut away the things in our life that are unnecessary, the things in our life that are hindersome. Just like a surgeon's scalpel could cut away cancerous things or could remove things it would be harmful or not beneficial to our body. Let your word work so today. Lord, I thank you that your word is always good. The seed is always good, but it's the soil that it falls on that determines the harvest. So today I'm praying and I'm asking for good soil in the hearts and the minds of your people. As the word of God says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for being here today. It's so good to have you. I feel God moving in the house and God moving in our community and in our midst. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of you and that we just get to be a part of what he is doing to advance his kingdom in this region. But this text is taken from what I would personally consider to be my favorite chapter from the writings of Paul, from the epistles that he wrote. Paul wrote 13 epistles in the New Testament, covering some two-thirds of all of the books that we have compiled in the New Testament by divine inspiration of God. And I know that some people would say, no, man, Romans 8 is where it's at, or some people would say Ephesians chapter 4 is where it's at. But I love Colossians chapter 3. It has always been a part of my heart, and it just really speaks to me every time that I read it. And I think it's just so beautifully written and has so many practical things in it. And the letter that we know as Colossians was written to the faithful brethren that were assembled together of the church at Colossae. And Paul, knowing it to be inspired by the Holy Spirit and knowing how pertinent that this letter was going to be to helping Christians live a life that is dedicated to God, he was so passionate about this letter. He so knew that it was helpful and needed that he said in chapter 4, he said, make sure that after you guys read this letter, that you pass it on to your neighboring city of Laodicea and make sure that they read it as well. And Pastor Madison quoted a moment ago in Revelation, Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold, but because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. Do you know who he was talking to when he said that? The church of Laodicea. And so if they would have taken this letter to heart more and taken what Paul said, I'm going to send to you guys and I want you to hear it. I want you to read it. And I don't want you just to hear it. I don't just want you to read it, but I want you to apply it to your life because it's pertinent to show us how to live hot for Jesus Christ, how to be set on fire, how to be conducting ourselves the way that he wants us to conduct ourselves. And the book of Colossians contains four chapters, and it can be split up into two halves, okay? The first half is doctrine, and the second half is practical. So the first half, in essence, chapters 1 and 2, it deals with the preeminence of Christ and his rightful place as the head of the church. And while the second half, chapters 3 and 4, explain to the believer how we ought to live our lives as servants of the Most High God. So in essence, the first half is to convince us of Christ's great power and the place that he holds. As in chapter 2, Paul says, the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form is inside of him. He talks about being the head of the church. He talks about Jesus having preeminence. He talks about how he defeated death and how he has made us alive out of our darkness and brought us into life, establishing that Jesus is the head. Jesus is Christ. He is Lord. But chapters 3 and 4, he begins to explain how we ought to live our lives. He says, since you've been made alive by Jesus who died for you, who rose again, so you should begin to put off the old self. And he begins to teach us how we should conduct and live ourselves as believers in the body of Jesus Christ. And so in chapter 3, which we just read some from, Paul begins to hammer home the point that because we've been made alive through Jesus Christ, we should no longer seek the passions and the lusts and the desires of our flesh because we've died to those things. How many of you guys know that when you get saved, the Bible says that we die to the old self? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. In the beginning of chapter 3 of Colossians, he says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the God. In verse 3, he says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ. So we're called to die to the old self so that we can put on the new self. We can be dressed in righteousness. We can dress in love. We can be dressed in kindness. We can be dressed in holiness. We can put on these things, but we cannot expect to put on these things if we don't first put off the old self. And so he's saying we should no longer seek the passions and the lusts and the desires of our flesh because we've died to those things, but rather we should seek things that are above. And he's saying we must put off the old self and put on righteousness that has been attained for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, he calls those of us in the body of Christ that have put off the old self, he calls us elect, he calls us holy, he calls us beloved. And he, in his instructional teaching to the church at Colossae, he tells us whatever we do, that means that there is no exclusions amongst the body of Christ. You may be a hand in the body of Christ. You may be an ear. You may be an eye. You may work a secular job. You may be full-time in the ministry. You might stay at home and raise your children. You might travel all over the world and run a Fortune 500 company. But whatever you do, he says, I want you to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And whatever you do, I want you to do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. I want you to make sure that from the very core of your being, everything that you do, you are doing it heartily. You're doing it with enthusiasm. You're doing it with passion. You're doing it with the energy that God supplies you to have, and you're doing it with all of your heart, and you're doing it for the glory of God. So with that in mind, I want to talk to you this morning about intentional living, because it's sad to me that there are so many people that are just wandering through life. They have no vision. They have no goals. They feel like they have no purpose, and they're not living life to the fullest of potential because they are not living life intentionally. But they're just wandering around. Because you see, life is a gift from God. And I, for one, think that it should be lived with intentionality. There's a song that I used to listen to growing up, and it says, there's more to living than being alive. How many people are just alive? They're there. They're breathing. They're moving around. But they're not truly living. I believe that the difference between being alive and living is choosing intentionally. I want to live my life with God and for God. I want to do everything that I do, whether I'm mowing the grass or whether I am leading a business meeting at work, whether I'm preaching a sermon or whether I'm going to the grocery store. I want to do everything that I can do heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. I want to live life intentional. That word intentional, according to our English language, means done on purpose. I want to encourage you today, if you don't hear anything else that I say, live life on purpose. Don't let it just go by. Don't waste it. Don't just meander through life in mundane way of thinking and an apathetic way of living, but you be intentional to do everything and be everything that God has called you and created you to be, because intentional decisions produce desired results. And some people don't get the results that they want in life simply because they are not living intentionally. They're not intentionally using their time to seek God, to put his kingdom first, to read the word, to pray, to study, to love others, to serve others, to give generously. And God has created and prepared for every single person, I believe this, a purpose. In fact, I read in the book of Lamentations chapter 1, and you may wonder, is there anything good in Lamentations? There is, let me tell you. In Lamentations chapter 1, actually, I'm just going to read this to you because I think the Lord just laid this on my heart. I want to share this with you because I think that there's some people struggling today wondering, do I really have a destiny? Is there really something that God has for me? Is there really something that he's called me to, that he's purposed me for? I don't know if I'm worthy. I don't know if I'll ever make it. I don't know. I want you to know God has a destiny and he has a purpose for you, and you will not come to the place of walking in that destiny unless you first realize that you have a destiny. In Lamentations chapter 1, verse 9, he says, her uncleanness is in her skirts. Listen to this. She did not consider her destiny. Therefore, her collapse was awesome. Because she didn't pay attention. She didn't consider. She didn't put her mind on the fact that I have a destiny. I have a purpose. He's talking about the people of Israel and the people of Judah. I want you to know today, don't miss what God has for you because you think I don't have a purpose. Find out what his purpose is and do it on purpose for a reason, knowing that God has a plan and a call on your life and he wants to use you greatly in his kingdom. You see, destinies aren't reached by happenstance. Success is never an accident. Let's just look at it outside of excuse me for a moment. Let's look at it in business or sports or in education. Nobody becomes successful on accident. Nobody becomes the best. Michael Jordan did not become the best basketball players. All you LeBron fans out there, I'm sorry. MJ is still the greatest. But Michael Jordan did not become the greatest basketball player on earth by accident. He didn't just wake up one morning and be like, I guess I'm the GOAT. It took hours and hours of practice and training. And it took hours, not just of practicing and training, but of winning and of losing and of working together as a team. Nobody gets to success by accident. Nobody just wakes up president one day. It took years and years of training and growing and putting in the time and putting in the effort. Nobody ever gets to the place, whatever you consider success, nobody gets there by accident. by happenstance. And it's the same way with your walk with God, the calling that he has for you, the purpose that he has placed on your life. You're not just going to magically get prayed over one day and wake up the next morning and be everything that God created you to be. The only way that you're going to get there is if you decide, I'm going to do everything that he calls me to do. I'm going to do it heartily as unto him and not as unto men. I'm not going to live life on accident. I'm going to live life on purpose, for a purpose, because I know that he loved me and he gave himself for me. And if he thought I was worth dying for, then I think he is worth living for, and I'm going to do it with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. All it is it's one intentional decision after another. We want this big magic trick where boom, it happens. Boom, it's there. Boom, everything is together. But all it is, if you want to know, how do I become successful in being who God has called me to be? It's one intentional decision after another. Choosing, I'm going to make church a priority. Choosing, I'm going to feed myself with the word of God. Choosing, I'm going to deny my flesh. Choosing, I'm going to listen for the voice of the Lord. Choosing, I'm not going back to who I was, but I'm pressing on to the mark of the prize of the high calling that is found in Christ Jesus. I'm going to intentionally decide everything that I do, I want to do it heartily as under the Lord and not as unto men. And the thing that will cause you to slip up is when you start living for people instead of living for God. He didn't say do everything heartily. He said do everything heartily as unto the Lord. You clock into work as unto God, not as unto your boss. You love your wife as unto God, not just because, you know, it's someone that you signed a covenant with and you decided that they look good, so y'all were going to get together and spend some time together. No, you do it, everything that you do, you do it heartily as unto God and not as unto people. One intentional decision after another. It's built stone upon stone based upon the desire to become better than you were yesterday. You see, some people give up because they haven't gotten there yet and they fail to look back and realize they're not where they used to be. The enemy will always come around and he'll try to whisper in your ear and try to tell you you're a failure because you haven't gotten there yet. And you need to tell him, no, no, you don't realize I'm not there, but I'm also not there anymore. I might not have gotten to the fullness of who God created me to be, but I'm not living in sin anymore. I'm not living in shame anymore. I'm not bound by condemnation anymore. I'm not giving in to the old desires of my flesh. I have come too far to quit now, and I'm going to keep my eyes ahead in intentional decision after decision. I'm going to keep pursuing after God. If you want to live the life that God created you to live, then you're going to have to live with intentionality, doing life on purpose. That's why Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6 in Matthew's gospel, the 22nd chapter, and he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind." Listen to me, church. It's impossible to unintentionally put all of your heart, soul, or mind into anything. You can't just put everything that you have, all of your heart, all of your soul, all your mind into something unless you intentionally make the decision, I am going all in. It's like Bishop Kevin Wallace was preaching on Sunday night. Eutychus was sitting in the window, half in the world, half out the world, like the church of Laodicea, half hot and half cold. You cannot love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength while still giving part of your heart here, still lending the soul ties of your spirit and your soul over here, and still having your mind thinking about something else. He's saying, I am one basket that you can put all of your eggs in and you can guarantee that they're still going to be safe. It's still going to be blessed. I'm still going to make it work out. What he's saying is, I don't want you to be half-hearted. I don't want you to be apathetic. I want you to take all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind, and I want you to put it into serving me and loving me with every single thing that you have. But you only do that when you're passionate, when you're dedicated, and when you're all in. And I believe that for a time now and for a season, God has been drawing a line in the sand. And he's asking, which side of the fence do you want to be on? Which side of the line do you want to be on? Do you want to be in with me all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind? And what he's doing is, I believe because we're in the last times, he's starting to put in pins the sheep and the goats. You see, when it comes to the last day before the judgment seat of Christ, he'll put the goats on the left and the sheep on his right. And I used to think yesterday was National Left-Handers Day. I used to think when I was a child, because I was left-handed, I went to my mom crying, "Mama, I'm going to hell." She said, "Son, you're not going to hell." I said, "I'm left-handed. He puts the goats on the left. I'm going to hell." She said, "Son, that's not what that means." And she got to explain to me, there's a matter of the heart, not a matter of the hand. Come on, somebody. And so, but he's beginning to bring a division. It's 2020 was a great revealer of what side of the fence that you're on. Are you serious about your walk with Christ? You know, I realize there's a lot of people that stopped doing things in 2020 or 2021 because it just wasn't convenient, it wasn't easy, and they used it as an excuse to become complacent. But I believe that God's saying, no, I want you to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. I don't believe that that thing that Jesus said has expired to the church today. We're still called to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. The Lord said in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, he said, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So what does that imply? To me, and you take this how you want to take it, to me that implies that when he says when you seek me with all your heart, he's implying that if you don't seek him with all of your heart, you might not find him. Because I don't know about you, but I've looked for things before, and because I did not give my whole attention to it, I never found him. I just kind of looked a little bit here, and finally I just go, babe, do you know where such and such is? And she can find it right away. Because she intentionally begins to look for it, and she knows where it is. Why is it that women can find things that men can't find? I don't know. It is. But they're good at finding everything, even your flaws, okay? I don't know. That's just, no, sorry, excuse me. Not my wife. She's great about being encouraging. But he says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'm talking to you today about being intentional in your pursuit of God. I want to encourage you. Take your walk with God seriously. I've said this before. I'll say it again. Your walk with God is your responsibility. I'm here as a pastor and a shepherd to encourage you, to speak the truth to you, to be there for you, to give you advice, to pray for you, to minister to you. But there is no single person on earth that can be mediator between you and God, only Jesus Christ. And you have got to decide, I'm taking personal responsibility and I'm going to be intentional about my walk with Jesus Christ. I'm talking to you about being intentional in your relationships. Listen to me, parents. You won't build a strong relationship with your child if you don't try to build a strong relationship with your child. Do not put all the pressure on your child to be the one to build relationship with you. You have a responsibility as a mother, as a father, to pour into that child, to encourage that child, to pray for that child, to teach them what it means to be a man and a woman of God. Be intentional in your relationships. Make sure that you aren't putting more effort and intentionality into climbing the corporate ladder than you are into loving your children. Make sure you're not putting more intentionality into playing, you know, softball on the weekends or going or watching college football than you are pouring into your children. Be intentional in your relationship with your spouse, in your relationship with your coworkers. Some people say, I don't know, man. I can't really minister at my work. I would ask you, are you being intentional to love those people? Are you being intentional to build relationship with them? Because they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. How many of you have heard that before? And so we're not just going to say, you know, hey, come to church with me. Hey, come to church with me. How about asking them, hey, how's it going? Hey, how's life? Hey, how's your family? Hey, how's your children? Hey, how's your spouse? Hey, I remember the other day you said that your grandmother was dealing with something and she had a procedure done. Is everything going okay? Listen, be intentional to show the kindness and the love of God to people. And when you're intentional to pour into them, trust me, when times get tough, they'll remember who it was that was kind and that was intentional and that was loving. Be intentional in your prayer. Don't just waste time in prayer. Be intentional when you come before God. Have a plan. Say, God, I want to talk to you about these things. We have access to the Father of all fathers. And we're going to spend time in the next few weeks actually talking about prayer. But I want to encourage you, don't waste the opportunity to bring it to God. Be intentional. I'm going to talk to God about it today. I'm going to take it to the throne room. Be purposeful in your praise. Be intentional. As Pastor Madison was saying earlier, when you feel heaviness coming on you, you throw off that heaviness and you put on the garment of praise. You realize that when everything starts to go wrong in your life, you have a weapon called praise that you can whip out at any single time as you lift your hands and open your mouth and you begin to declare the greatness and the glory and the power of God. You are intentionally using what God gave you to drive back the darkness and to drive back the enemy. I want to encourage you to be intentional about serving. Not just here at church, serving at work, serving in your neighborhood, serving in the community. Find a way to be serious about serving, serious about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I believe that God is looking for people, a remnant that are serious about kingdom business. People that would take it not just half-heartedly, but that would be like Jesus said, I want you to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. People that are serious about that. I looked up the definition of the word serious. And when I say serious, I'm not talking about, you know, you look like you just sucked on a lemon and you know, you just, nothing is funny. You can't laugh. You know, listen, a merry heart does good like a medicine. I love laughing. I love smiling. So when I say serious, I'm not talking about just being solemn all the time and being hard-hearted and being, you know, one of those people that, you know, looks like they hadn't had candy in years. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about being serious. Here's what I mean. The definition of the word serious means demanding careful consideration. Do you carefully consider what God has called you to do? Do you carefully consider what is in this book? Do you carefully consider the ways of the kingdom of God? It means careful consideration or application. So not only do you consider what this says, but do you do what it says? Do you apply it to your life? Listen, this book that was written by men but inspired by God, it has the power to transform and to change your life, but it will not change your life laying clothes on your coffee table. It will not change your life as an app on your phone. It won't even just change your life when you open it up and read it. It only changes your life when you apply it to your heart. It'd be like this. If you got a cut and you took the antibiotic cream and you opened it up and you laid it on the counter and you're like, well, it's open. No, the way that it's going to help heal the wound and cleanse the wound is when you take it out of the tube and you apply it to the cut. There are things in your heart that the word of God needs to be applied to. And it only happens when you become serious about the word of God, serious about seeking him, serious about praising. It means demanding careful consideration or application, actions or speaking sincerely. I'm tired of people not being sincere about their walk with God. Sincere means authentic. It means genuine. I tell you what, I grew up in church. I've told y'all this before. On the way home from the hospital, my mom and dad stopped at church on the way home. Literally, I've been going to church since I left the hospital, okay? And I can spot a phony from a mile away. I mean, I can smell fake. I'm like, you. Anybody else smell hypocrite? I can smell hypocrite right now. There's a hypocrite somewhere. I'm gonna find them. I can smell them out. I do not like people that are not genuine, not sincere, not authentic, because I've seen fake and I've seen real and I'm so tired of fake. Listen, if I'm not going to truly serve God with everything that I have, then I'm going to go out in the world and have me a good time and then die and forget about it. But I don't want to do that because I've tasted and I've seen that he's good and I know that life with him is real and it's better, but I'm not going to fake church and fake, you know, being a Christian. I want to be sincere. I want to be genuine. I want to be real. It says actions or speaking sincerely in earnest rather than, listen to this, in a joking or a half-hearted manner. And I think a lot of people aren't taking their walk with God seriously. Half-hearted. Listen, if you're half in, you're also half out. And we have got to be people that say, you know what? I'm not going to be half-hearted. I'm not taking this as a joke. I want to be sincere. I want to demand careful consideration and application. It's like Jesus said in the book of Revelation chapter 3 to the Laodiceans. He said, so then, because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. In fact, the New King James Version says, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's worse than spew. Trust me, I have children. There's spewing and there's vomiting. And vomiting is much worse than spewing. In other words, you know what Jesus is saying? Half-hearted, unintentional, lukewarm, half-in, half-out living is repulsive to me. I'm going to spew you. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So I want to ask you this. What are you doing with the gift of life that God has given you? You only get one go at it. It's not going to come back around and, you know, hey, you know what? You get to the end of your life and God goes, you know what? You didn't do a great job. Let's just rewind the clock and you start over. I'm going to take you back to 1964 and let you live your life all over again. No, this is the only chance that you get. So what are you doing with the gift? Because if you don't intentionally pursue God and intentionally pursue who he created you to be, life will pass you by. And it makes me think of the parable that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 25. And it's my favorite parable, and I know I said that Colossians chapter 3 was my favorite. Everything's my favorite in the Bible, if you haven't noticed, okay? It's kind of like food. I'm like, oh, that's my favorite food. And then the next day, that's my favorite food, right? Like, it just depends on, you know, what kind of mood you're in. And that's the great thing about the Bible is there's so much, and it's all good that it can all be your favorite. But Matthew chapter 25 truly is my favorite parable that Jesus told. And that's not just, I'm not just being exaggerative. I really do love this parable because I think that it applies so much to life. And in this parable, Jesus said there was a master. And he called his servants to him because he was preparing to go on a long journey. And he brought three servants before him. And the Bible says that he divided his wealth among them. And to one servant, according to their ability, to one servant he gave 5 talents. To another, he gave 2 talents. And to another, he gave 1. Everybody say all. He just got 1. No, he got 1. See, we look at this the whole, we look at it all the wrong way and we're like, man, poor guy. No wonder he hid it in the ground. He only got 1. Do you realize that a talent, most scholars will tell you, was somewhere between the realm of $1.4 to $2 million in today's money? And we think, oh man, this guy, he just got 1. No, a talent was a weighting system that they would use. And once you weighed enough gold and you picked the talent up off the ground, that became 1 talent on the measuring scale. And this guy was giving what people would say was somewhere between 4 to 5 years' salary. And so the others, they got, you know, 2 times that or 5 times that. But he divided his goods among them and he went off to on a long journey. While he was gone, you know the story, the one that had 5, he traded with it and he gained 5 more. He got 10. The one that had 2, he traded his, invested his, and gained 2 more. But the one that just had 1, he had the woe is me, I'm not enough, I don't know that I can do this, I'm fearful, I'm anxious, you know, why did he even give this to me? I'm so afraid I'm going to mess it up. You know what? I think I'll just go dig a hole in the ground, bury it there, and when he comes back, I'll at least be able to give it to him and at least I won't have lost it. So he does that. The king comes back from his journey. He says, call those 3 servants in. And I want them to give a testament of what they've done with what I entrusted them with. They come and they line up. Obviously, the guy that had 5 is happy. The guy that had 2 is happy. And here comes Droopy coming in, you know, with his 1 little talent still in his little rag. And he's got dirt falling out of his pocket. He looks like Linus from, you know, Snoopy. And he's just standing there all pitiful. I got my 1 little talent. And the guy with 5 says, look, I took your 5 and I invested it and I gained 5 more. You know what he said? He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. He said, you've been faithful in little. I'm going to make you steward over much. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Same thing happens for the one that had 2. When it comes time for the one, I can see him just trying to sneak out the back door and somebody grabs and says, no, buddy, it's your turn now to present. And he comes up and he says, well, you gave me a talent, but I was afraid. Because I know that you're a man who reaps where you don't sow and you gather where you don't scatter seed. And so I took your talent and I hid it in the ground. Here, it's back. Here, you can have it back now. You know what the king said? You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I was a man who would reap where I've not sown and gathered where I've not sown seed. You should have at least taken my talent, my money, put it in the bank, so that it could have gained interest while I was gone. And upon my return, I could have at least gotten that back to me. But because you have not been faithful, I'm going to take what you have and I'm going to give it to the one that has 10. And you are going to be cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But listen to the words that were chosen by the master and what Jesus purposely told this parable. He called him a wicked and a lazy servant. In other words, you were not intentional with what I gave you. And maybe you're sitting here today going, you know what, I only got 1 talent. Let me remind you that a talent was the equivalent of 4 to 5 years' wages. It wasn't something menial. It wasn't something small. And if you have life and all you have is life, then you've been given everything that you need to be intentional to use it for the glory of God. But lazy people are people that are not intentional in their pursuit of God and seeking his kingdom and seeing it advance. But when you live with intentionality and you serve God on purpose and you love others on purpose and you forgive on purpose and you sow generously on purpose, listen to me. There is a reward for people like that. I'm going to show you this. Listen, don't believe me. Look at the end of the parable. The one that turned 5 into 10, at the end of the parable, he said, the king said, you take the one that just had 1 and you give it to the one that had 10. Why? Because he was intentional with what I gave him. I'm going to reward him with even more. To those that have, more will be given. But to those that don't have, even what they have will be taken away from them. And that is a lesson for life. And so many think that say that this pertains to our giftings, our abilities, our talents, or our money. I think that it applies all to that. But if you look at the 3 parables that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 25, they are all talking about the coming and the judgment of Christ and how everybody's going to have to stand before God and give an account for what they did. He's talking about, what did you do with the life that I gave you? And if you're not faithful with it, if you're not intentional in living it, even what you have will be given to somebody that is going to be intentional. Listen, there's an old song that says that if you don't, basically that it says that if you don't give your woman time and you don't love her, you'll find her on the other side of town in a trailer with somebody that's got nothing but time. What it's saying is maybe I didn't explain it well. I thought it was funny. But what it's saying is if you're not intentionally loving, forgiving, and pouring into something, even what you have, you'll find it over there with somebody else that will. And what Jesus is saying is if you're not intentional with what I've given you, then it will be given. But what he's also saying, see, we always want to look at the guy, man, bless his heart, he got taken away. He didn't even lose it. He just got it taken away. How about let's look at it like this. The guy that did something with what Jesus had, or with what the master had given him, the Lord had given him, was rewarded with more. And if you don't believe it from that parable, look at Colossians 3:23-25 again. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. We have the assurance, we have the promise, that if we will do everything heartily, and let me tell you what that word heartily means, it means from the soul. If you'll do everything with all of your heart, with enthusiasm, if you'll do everything on purpose for a person, purpose, we know that we'll receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord because we serve the Lord. But I'd be amiss if I didn't warn you about verse 25 and if I didn't warn you about what happened to the guy that hid his talent in the ground. He who does wrong will also be repaid for what he has done. Undoubtedly, you will reap whatever you sow. That's what the book of Galatians says. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I can promise you this, though. If you love God intentionally and you seek him with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, he will never leave you unrewarded. It's not that, listen to me on this, it's not that we serve God for the reward, but we serve him knowing that he will reward us. Because his word says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That word diligently, we could probably put intentionally in there for it. He's a rewarder of those who intentionally seek him, who make it a priority in their life, who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we've got to make sure that as the people of God, that we don't just lackadaisically go through life and unintentionally just kind of exist and be here. No, do life on purpose, for a purpose, and do everything that you have intentionally. You simply have to choose to live with intentionality, because the Bible says right here in this and in Romans chapter 2, he shows no partiality. That means that just because I have the title or the position of pastor of a church, he doesn't look at me and go, you know what, I'm going to bless you because you're a pastor. No, that means that I still have to choose to serve him intentionally. That means that if I do wrong, I'm still going to be repaid for that. But if I will do everything heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men, I will save a reward and so will you. But listen to me on this. In talking about living intentionally, the Lord dropped, this is where all this started from. I was weed eating the other day, and I know this was God because I hate weed eating. And so I was already had a bad attitude, and God spoke to me anyways, even though I had a bad attitude about weed eating. Okay? Here's what he said. You never happen into holiness or stumble into sanctification. Meaning, you don't just accidentally become holy. You don't just accidentally walk into sanctification. You don't fulfill your calling by coincidence. You don't reach the purpose that God has for you without choosing to be intentional. The book of 1 Peter quotes the Old Testament where God said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." What is he saying? Choose holiness. Choose to be like I've called you to be and like I've made a way for you to be. So whatever you say, whatever you do, do it heartily with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Because listen to me, he sees you when nobody else sees you. He sees the intentionality when you wake up in the morning and you seek him with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Because the book of 1 Samuel tells us that man may look at the outward appearance, but the Lord is looking at the heart. And here's what I want to get to today, is not just having all the right external motions going on, but having an intentional heart. Because remember what he said in Jeremiah, "You will seek me, you will find me." When you seek me, not with all of your external faculties, but when you seek me with all of your heart. The Lord's been showing me, I believe that this week, the Lord, there was uncovered at Summer Hunger, there's a strong spirit of religion in this region. It's all over the South, really, but I really feel like God was pinpointing on that this week. And the Lord was showing me, you know, sometimes religion doesn't look like this. Sometimes religion looks like this. And getting on your knees and shouting and clapping and dancing. But let me tell you, Jesus said, "There's a people that honor me with their lips, but it's their heart that's far from me." And we've got to make sure that we have the right heart. When Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, who were the religious people of the day, do you know what he called them? He said, "You are whitewashed tombs." You know what that means? That means you look real pretty on the outside, but on the inside, it's completely dead. And you go to a lot of churches today, and they know when to lift their hands. We know when to get on our knees. We know when to clap. We know when to shout. We know when to shake. We know when to fall over when the preacher touches us. And I'm not saying anything against that. I believe in all of that. What I'm saying is we think that religion is just old, dead religion. Sometimes religion looks more alive than what actually is alive because it's just a show. And we've got to make sure that we are intentionally seeking God with all of our heart. Because look at me. If what you do on the outside is not a result of what's happening on the inside, it's nothing more than a whitewashed tomb. Yeah. But we've got to make sure that in our heart we are intentionally seeking him, because he doesn't see what man sees. Man may look at you and go, "Man, they're an on fire Christian." God looks at him and goes, "Whitewashed tomb." You may look at someone and go, "They don't love God." But you don't understand that on the inside, there's a burning and a yearning desire to know him and to serve him and to love him more than anybody else that you have ever known or ever seen. So don't judge based on the outward appearance, because God isn't looking at the outward appearance. He's looking at the heart. So man may look at you also and think, "I don't know if they're going to amount to much." But God's looking at your heart. And he sees, when he sees someone that's serving him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, and they're loving him with everything that they have, he will not leave you unprotected, and he will not leave you unrewarded. He shows us that in the parable in Matthew chapter 25 and in Colossians chapter 23. He is a rewarder of those who diligently, intentionally seek him. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? What I want you to do, with every head bowed and every eye closed, is if you want to make a fresh decision to intentionally follow God, I'm just going to simply ask you to slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Just lift your hand up. I want to pray with you. I've got my hand up. Listen, I don't want to be somebody that's a whitewashed sepulcher. I don't want to honor him with my lips and my heart be far from him. I just want to make a fresh commitment today to the Lord to say, "I want to seek you. I want to love you," as Jesus said, "with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. I want to do everything heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men, knowing that I will receive the inheritance, the reward of inheritance, because I serve the Lord Jesus. But if not, if I don't do good, I will be repaid, because there is no partiality." So God, I pray for your people today, and I ask that you would cleanse our hearts, any area that we've been faking it, any area that we have not been genuine and true and sincere and serious about our walk with you. God, I pray that you would birth a desire inside of us that we would say, I am earnestly desiring to be genuine. I am longing to walk with you and to know you and to be used by you. And I want to intentionally do whatever it is that you've called me to do, God. If I just have one talent, I want to be intentional. I don't want to hide it in the ground. If I have two, I don't want to get complacent. If I have five, I want to keep going. God, I want to be intentional to serve you with every single thing that I have, not leaving anything to the side, but we want to do life on purpose. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling in their marriage or in their parenting. Lord, I pray that you would help them to intentionally love their spouse. I pray that you would help them to intentionally encourage their spouse. I pray that you would help them to intentionally proclaim the word and pray with and for their spouse. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling maybe in their job or in another relationship outside of family. Lord, I pray that you would give them the strength that they need. And I pray that you would give them the wisdom by your Holy Spirit to show them what do you want them to do to intentionally invest in that relationship, in that person, in what you've called them to be. And Lord, I pray that we would not be people that don't consider our destiny. But Lord, I pray that even today that your people would go and sit before you and ask, Lord, show me my destiny. Show me what you have for me. Show me my purpose. And Lord, I thank you that just as you revealed to Jeremiah that before he was in his mother's womb, you knew him and you ordained him to be a prophet to the nations. Lord, I pray that you would call people today out of darkness. Call people out of apathy. Call people out of just being complacent, Lord, and into the fullness of who you have called them to be, Lord. And may we be people that are intentional in every single thing that we do. We don't want to do anything on accident. We don't want to do anything outside of your will. We want to be directed and led by the Holy Spirit, and we want to walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Would you just lift your hands and receive this blessing? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you be someone who lives life on purpose, intentionally loving and serving God with everything that you have. And may you be blessed in all that you do with the reward that comes from heaven in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Be blessed. Have a great week. We love you.